Every time I hear those announcements, I just can't digest this fact that we are, you know, it's so hard to convince people that they have to finally invest their time and their money in doing the right thing. If you tell people there's a party somewhere, hundreds will show up. If you tell people they serve sushi, Chinese somewhere, doesn't matter what are they going to talk, they're going to run in hundreds. But if you tell people, come, hear the truth of Hashem, maybe it will affect you even a little bit. You do one mitzvah better than yesterday. You have to beg. It's interesting. You know, the good part here is that we have Baruch Hashem Torah anytime. 2 years ago, when everything started, if you had 30, 40, 50, 100 people in a lecture, you know, you'll be very happy, and that was just about it. Today, if you have 20 people in a lecture, you feel very disappointed. You get into the car, and just when you start the car, you say, only 20, only 30 showed up. What happened? It used to be much more. Then you remember that thousands will watch it. So then you wonder, what's better? There will be 100 coming every night, and that's just about it. Or it will be 30, 40, but then maybe 1,000 or 5,000 will watch it later. Right? So Baruch Hashem, obviously, the answer is clear. Hashem had mercy on us. He gave us Torah anytime. And now everywhere I go, I know you from Torah anytime. So that means all these people are watching, Baruch Hashem. I just remember how everything started, you know, with few lectures, and today, Baruch Hashem, I believe it's close to 1,000 lectures already. And probably by tomorrow morning it will be maybe a few more. So Baruch Hashem, we have to be grateful, first to Hashem and then to the Kol Yaakovs and all the volunteers and all the people who helps and the people who maintain the website. It's really a great opportunity for each one of us to buy a stock in this organization that we can take with us to Olam Haba. Because remember, the spiritual world is a world of investments. Not only the materialistic world is investments. In real estate, you need to know where to buy cheap and sell expensive. Like this, you make the money. Over here, you have to know where to invest. You know, sometimes you buy a tree, the tree will not produce any fruits. You spend $1,000 on a tree. With the same $1,000, you can buy another tree, and it produces fruits forever. The amount of money you make on a fruit, you can buy 100 other trees. That's a good investment. You invest in a website that brings thousands of people back to Hashem. Each mitzvah that each one of them is doing, you have a part in it. You come to Olam Haba, you'll be very surprised. They'll accept you with such great honor. You say, me? You're sure you didn't make a mistake? I'm not so religious, Hashem. What happened here? There's a mistake. No, wait a minute. Here, look at this guy, look at this girl, look at this family, look at that. I was told that so many goyim, are sending emails, calling. They changed their life, it changed their communities. I get emails from all over the United States. And believe me, most of the email goes to the website, to Torah Anytime. But I myself sometimes get emails from this goyim. They want to keep the seven law. Some of them decided that Christianity is a waste of time after watching the debate. Few of them already converting. And I even have one goy that told me, listen, after listening to all your lectures, I just lost my life. I said, what happened? I just came to a lecture that you said that a goy is not allowed to learn Torah. And I don't want to do anything against God. You made me a goy. I'm dying to learn Torah, but if I'm not allowed, I'm not going to do anything against Hashem. I had to call a posek at 12 o'clock at night, be an hour on the phone, trying to go over all the halachot, what is allowed to learn, what is not allowed to learn. And we that have the Torah, the Gemara says every day, there's an echo come from Mount Sinai. An echo. It's a spiritual thing. It's something the Gemara uses a lot. Bat kol. An echo. אוי לבריות מעלבונה של תורה. אוי ויי to the Jewish public for embarrassing the Torah. Where is the embarrassment of the Torah? You have it on the shelf. You have it across the street. You have it 5 blocks away from your home. You have it in your computer, pressing few buttons, and you have as many lectures as you want, and you're busy with baseball. You're busy selling vegetables. Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai came out of the cave after 12 years with his son, and he saw a nice religious Jew cutting tomatoes, growing tomatoes. They look at him, he burned to death. They got so upset that a Jew is a farmer, wasting his time on vegetables, on tomatoes. Of course, this is a very high level. 12 years we're in a cave, writing the Sefer HaZohar, coming out, it's not a joke, you know. But Hashem brought them back into the cave for an extra year, to cool them off. Listen, you're too dangerous right now. Same thing Moshe Rabbeinu, when he came out from the when he came down from the mountain, what happened to him? He was glowing like spiritual. It has influence on you, spiritual influence. The things, your eyes become pure. You know, it's interesting, and I mean, you see it all the time. Tonight, I wanted to read an interesting email to you that I received. This email was, the actual story was written by Rabbi Yaakov Loven. I hope I pronounced his name correctly. Loven is an American rabbi, somewhere I guess from here. And it's very, very interesting what he wrote here. I mean, it's very similar to what we hear in the lecture, but he brought it in a very modern way. He designed it to fit our everyday life. And you're going to see now something very interesting. I also will take an advantage on this to continue on this topic and speaking a little bit about Lashon Hara. The power, the destruction of Lashon Hara, of gossip, of all these things. I know we heard about it, but it's good to remember it from time to time, because without realizing, sometimes we continue to do it without realizing how dangerous it is. But first, let's hear what he wrote here. He says, many years I imagined to myself what would have happened if I can get an email from Hashem. One day I turned my computer on, and there's an email, www.heaven.com. Comes from Hashem. The name, Shaar HaShamayim, the gate of heaven. And then, just imagine if I was able to respond to this email and send Hashem an email back and forth. I couldn't think about anything else. After days of thinking and debating what to do, I decided to communicate with Hashem and try to send him an electronic mail. Email to Ribono Shel Olam, to Hashem. I thought scientists are trying to send all kinds of messengers to Mars, to all kinds of stars. What's the chances they'll get respond? But they're still investing billions in it. Why don't I try to communicate with Hashem? Let's see what's going to happen. Let's see what's going to happen. You need patience for that, but pay attention to every word. So then, he said, "What would, if you have an opportunity to send an email to Hashem, what would you write?" It's not a simple thing. So I sat for a long, long time thinking, what am I going to write to Hashem? And then I typed this letter, Ribon HaOlamim, Dear God, as you know, I am a religious Jew that try to keep all the laws according to Shulchan Aruch. But I still feel that I'm missing something in my life. I would request, if it's possible, that you will send me some kind of mission, exciting mission in my life, such as Abraham had to slaughter his son, Yitzchak, the Akedah, or something that will change my life completely, because my life is a little bit gray and not exciting enough. I would like a religious challenge, a spiritual challenge, such mission that will revive me. I always had a dream, he writes to Hashem, that an angel come from heaven and order me, you were chosen to do such and such mission. Now when I finally can send you an email, even though I don't deserve anything, I would really appreciate if you consider my request. So far sounds a little silly, don't worry, it becomes better, patience. I press send and it's gone. It was clear to me that Hashem will not send me a direct response. But just the fact that I wrote an email to Hashem filled me with lots of excitement. And I had a hope that somehow, through somebody, Hashem will send me the answer. That day, believe it or not, I checked my emails every hour. When I went to sleep that night, it was very difficult for me to fall asleep. I couldn't fall asleep. Then finally, when I slept a little bit, I woke up at midnight. I had a strange feeling that something is happening. I jumped from my bed, I turned on my computer, and just, believe it or not, I had huge excitement when I saw that there is there's incoming email. And it says, from the website, the Gate of Heaven. My hands started to shake. I couldn't even put the mouse on the right button. I had feelings that this is a letter that's going to change my life completely. I started to read the message, but such disappointment. What's the message? It says, thank you, it says, please make tshuva on one word of Lashon Hara that you spoke. If you need more information, please enter our website for instructions how to make tshuva on Lashon Hara that you spoke. That's what Hashem sent him. He was hoping that he's going to be the new Mashiach. He got such a disappointing email. He said, what? This is Hashem's answer to my spiritual request. Tshuva for one little word of Lashon Hara. What major disappointment. I started to imagine myself in the Himalaya, in the mountains, going to the east, to all the cults, Buddhism, getting Jews out of those cults, or going to China, opening a yeshiva, or Afghanistan, or to the Russian, the communist in Russia. I'm full of disappointment from the answer. Then in the bottom of the screen, I saw a connection, information about Lashon Hara. I pressed. I saw on the screen a list of all the Lashon Hara that I spoke in my life. I almost got a heart attack. I saw that in my file, there is more than 50,000 scenes of Lashon Hara. Which means, in an average day, I made 5 violations of Lashon Hara every day. In the last 30 years, I'm 43 today, he writes, in the last 30 years, I accumulated 50,000 sins of Lashon Hara. Even though I'm very careful with keeping the mitzvot, and I am, Lashon Hara, you know, it's a different category. It's not exactly Shulchan Aruch, you know. Here and there, some gossip, can't live without it, no? But I was still shocked to see the amount of Lashon Hara that I spoke in my life. So I had a problem. I started to think, if I have such a huge list of sins, why Hashem only send me a message, change one, correct one? Should have told me, correct all your Lashon Hara, all the 50,000. What's one out of 50,000? What good is going to do? One out of 50,000? What is he going to do? Thinking, what's the point? I say, what can I do? Hashem knows what he's talking about. Let me continue. I started to scroll down the list of all the Lashon Hara that I spoke. Then I saw the date March 16, 1998, according to the counting of the Goyim. The victim, Mr. Chaim Blank. The damage, ruining his professional reputation. I couldn't even remember the case. I double-clicked on that, and I saw on the screen a video. What's the video? Chaim Blank used to be a very good friend of mine. He was a professional accountant. Even though he was a professional CPA accountant, it was very difficult for him to make parnasa, to make a living. And last year, I wanted to help Chaim, and I hired him to do my tax return, my annual tax return for the IRS. Once Chaim gave me back the papers, I got very upset to find out that according to his calculation, I owe $5,500 to the tax. I got so angry that I picked up the phone and called my friend Shimon, not called Yaakov, Shimon. And I called Shimon and I told him, Shimon, if you plan to use Chaim Blank as your accountant, I'm very disappointed from his tax return. Save yourself. It is not worth it. It seems to me that he doesn't even know how much 2 plus 2 it is. Then Shimon told me later that some of the things I told him, he told only few of his friends. And the things started to roll from one person to another. Now I have to make tshuva, repentance, for what I did. But I slowly started to realize that it's not so simple. I pressed the help button to see how is the process of tshuva for such a damage. And this is what the screen showed me. One, in case that Lashon Hara does not cause any damage to the person, it's only a sin between you and God. Something like this can be cleaned or erased or corrected by making vidui, regret that you did it, accepting never to do it again, and never return to this sin ever again, and you've been forgiven. At least after one Yom Kippur, you're clean. Two, in case the Lashon Hara caused the damage to the person, now it's a double sin. One between you and God, and one between you and another Jew. Ben Adam Lechavero. Between you and God, watch provision one. This is how you correct it. But between you and your friend, you need to do one of the two. A, to apologize and ask forgiveness. Two, to convince all the people who heard your words that what you said is not corrected and it should have not been said. And this is the one out of two ways to correct what you did. So if he forgives you knowing you made a very big damage to him, and he said, no problem, I don't care. I forgive you. You got lucky. How many people are willing to forgive you, ruin their parnasa and reputation everywhere? So most likely you're going to have to choose the second option. What's the second option? Go and find thousands of people now. You don't even know where they are. It was obvious that I made a serious damage to Chaim. I caused him to lose a lot of money. I did not know which way to choose, because both of them did not look practical enough for me. First, I could not come and reveal to him what I did to him behind his back, because he was a good friend of mine, and I didn't want that the reason that his reputation is ruined is because of me. And second, I kind of realized there's no way to prevent the damage. I just remember the email that God sent me gave me an advice to go to the website called The Gate of Heaven. I checked there and I wanted to see how the Lashon Hara was spread. I pressed the connection and on the screen I started to see a tree with branches and so many wires and connection, how the Lashon Hara is traveling. As I'm checking, it continued to travel from one person to another. And he gives the names of all the people that told how many people, each one of them, how it spreads. I got shocked. As I watched it, it was continued to grow by the minute. It's growing. And everybody adds salt and pepper to my original words. So far, 189 people already know about that, that were considering to use him, and now they won't. 189 people. So many names. Some of them I don't even know who they are. How am I going to find them? Now I was completely embarrassed. How can I go and correct it by 189 people? I felt that when I was a kid, I heard once a story about a person named Yankel that used to repeat every bad things that he heard in every opportunity that he had. When he grew up, he realized that after 120 years, he's going to have to stand in a gate of the court of heaven, and be judged for everything he said. Yankel came to the rabbi, to the local rabbi, and asked him to direct him how to do repentance, tshuva, for every gossip that he ever spoke. No problem, the rabbi said. Take a pillow full of feathers. Get on the roof of this building. When you get to the highest point, hit the pillow as hard as you can. And let the feathers fly. Yankel couldn't understand what's the connection, but he went to do what the Rav just told him. He said, if that's the only way to correct what I did, let me hit the pillow. Once he hit the pillow, hundreds of feathers were flying all over. He came down back into the Rav's apartment to tell him, I did what you told me. The Rav told him, you ready for the second step now? Go collect all the feathers and bring them to me. The uncle said, you know it's impossible. There's no way to collect them. Really? The rabbi said. And you thought that you're able to come to me in 1 minute and collect all your Lashon Hara that is traveling all over the world? I was in the same situation like this Yankel. Then I had a bright idea. Yankel did not have an email, but I have. Why don't I send an email to each one of the 189 people? And they don't have to know really who I am. I'm just going to tell them that I'm the source of this bad news. I started to collect 189 emails of all these people in the list. And this is what I send them. Ladies and gentlemen, you may not know me, and I apologize if I affected your privacy. I have a very important message to you. A while back, I spoke against this person named Chaim Blank, and I had doubts about his talent and his ability to do accounting, and I'm starting to realize it goes to a lot of people. But now, I want everybody to know that everything I say was nonsense. And I regret, and it was not correct. And I encourage each one of you to use him as your accountant. I sent it to 189 people, and I was very relieved. I was proud of myself. The technology that we have in this generation helped me to correct what this young girl couldn't do. But it wasn't for long. Minutes after, I started to get many emails coming back from all my new friends. And this is what they told me. There's no smoke without fire. If everybody speaks about him already, there has to be a reason. We're not counting your information. We're not relying on your information. We're not sure that you're reliable. You're only trying to correct it now because you feel bad, but what you said was already the truth. Why should we gamble? All kinds of answers like this. So then, when I realized I fell in my plan, I realized there's no way to correct it. So what did I do? I wanted to go and ask Mechila from this Chaim. But then I started to think, how exactly am I doing it? I'm sure he's not going to be happy to know that I stuck a knife in his back. And there's so many people already know about it. And the only reason that he's poor is because of me. I remember that my Rav once gave a shiur in Chafetz Chaim, Lashon Hara, the laws of Lashon Hara. And he said, the Chafetz Chaim said that you're allowed to come to the person that you spoke Lashon Hara about him and tell him what you said about him as a part of your repentance. It's in Shmirat HaLashon, chapter 4, Seif Yud Bet, Halacha 12. But Rav Israel Salanter said that something like this could make things worse. And it's not recommended to do. It's forbidden. In that case, who should I choose? This halacha or that halacha? I have a doubt. So I start to write another email. Ribon HaOlamim, Dear God, am I allowed halachically to tell Chaim that I am the reason for all his problems? Do I have to go by the Chafetz Chaim or by Rav Israel Salanter? Which one of the two? The answer was even more shocking. Torah is not in heaven. It went already to earth. Ask your rabbi. Go to your rabbi to tell you what to do. So, I went to the rabbi. And the rabbi told me, Chafetz Chaim is the most reliable source for Lashon Hara. That was his specialty. But, on the other hand, Rav Israel Salant was the founder of Tnuat HaMusar, of Tshuva. Who am I, the local rabbi, to put my head between such two high mountains? I cannot tell you which way to choose. I got even more confused. What did I do? Chaim, I have something important to tell you. I started to mumble. I mean, I don't know how to tell you, but you know, sometimes, you know, we always used to be very good friends. Maybe. Say, listen. And I know you. Nobody wants to use me as their cabinet. Imagine how hard it is to fix one sin of Lashon Hara. A few days later, I had an opportunity to make tshuva. Few days later, in a very tragic way, Chaim Blank left early in the morning his house, running, and got a strong heart attack. It took him to the hospital, and 2 days later he passed away. So now I said, with all the tragic circumstances, I have one way out of it. What's the halacha says? You gotta take 10 people to his grave and ask mechila, and over there, you're not so embarrassed because you're speaking to the stone over there. You're really not, because you're speaking to his part of his neshama that stays in the grave. So you have to go there, you bring 10 witnesses, and they have to say, machul lecha. It makes like, it's almost like an atarat nedarim or something. Dear friends, I send an email to 10 friends. I'm in a very bad situation. I need your help immediately. I want to go to the grave of Chaim Blank, and I would like to ask forgiveness. Please meet me in a cemetery on this coming Friday at 10 o'clock. Friday I went to the cemetery. So it was a cold day, gray day, depressing day. It's not so simple to ask forgiveness from a dead person, because then you have 10 people that you have to speak in front of, and it's scary, it's embarrassing. Without God's email, I would never have the guts to do such a thing. I came to Chaim's grave, surrounded with 10 men. They would love to be somewhere else. I saw me with tears in my eyes, after trying to open my mouth, I started to speak to the grave of Chaim and ask him to forgive me for what I did. And now I feel even like a murderer, because maybe he died because of the situation. Chaim, I'm so sorry. I wish I would never open my mouth. And I started to read the Halacha in Shulchan Aruch, Orach Chaim, Taf Resh Vav, Seif Bet. I sin to the God of Israel and to Chaim Blank, Alav HaShalom, when I spoke against him, against his talent, and all the people started to scream, Machul Lecha, Machul Lecha, Machul Lecha. They were embarrassed not less than me. Once it's over, they all disappeared in moments. I went home with a feeling of relief. Finally, this nightmare is over. The next few days, I was very upset, because being in a cemetery, it's not something we want to do. Sunday morning, I went to the shul for shachrit, and I came to put my tefillin on. I saw somebody looks like Chaim Blank in front of me. Got very uncomfortable. The man turned around, and it was the shock of my life. It was Chaim Blank. He looks at me. He said, what is this? The ghost of Chaim Blank comes to run after me in this world? I fainted right away and I fell on the floor. When they woke me up, I saw Chaim is trying to wake me up. Are you okay? I said, Chaim, why did you come here? He said, why shouldn't I come? I always daven here. Yeah, but your heart attack. What heart attack? He says. I just realized what happened. I had a dream. Chaim really never died. I never went to the cemetery. I never got an email from Hashem. It was all a dream. Moments after I finished davening shachrit, I went to work. Ironically, I was very disappointed that it really never happened, that dream. Not thinking about Chaim life at all. When I got to work, my friend Shlomi Brown came to me. Did you hear the news about Avram? I said, Avram? He said, yeah, one of the workers in the office used to be a huge failure. Everybody used to laugh at him. I was about to say, I don't believe. What did he do this time? But then I remember what I just went through. I started to imagine the feathers falling from the building. I ran all over like crazy, picking them up. I turned around and ran away from this Shlomi. Don't want to hear 50,000 sins, it's enough. I don't want to drown in the same swamp. No, I did not lose my mind. That moment I decided I will never speak one more word of Lashon Hara. Even though it's hard, I will insist never to hear, never to talk. I finally realized that I had a divine mission without God's prophecies. Why do I look for missions running across the continents, trying to have all kinds of challenging missions, when the real mission is the things that we have to do every day? So that's a beautiful email. He made it up. But you don't need a lecture after that, I think. It's a point. What are we going to do? In his case, it was only 50,000. How do you know? What happens if you're speaking on a television? If you're a radio host and you speak against someone Lashon Hara and 5 million people saw you, and tomorrow it's going to be 50 million and all over the news? How are you going to correct that? 1 5-second mistake, one sentence in the media, you're finished. How you correct such a thing? You wonder, sometimes you make a scene. If you read by the Ari HaKadosh, by the Arizal, how difficult it is to correct one scene. How many fasts, how much tzedakah, how many viduim, how many terrible things to erase one scene. Multiply by millions like this, you give up. So what's the point is? The point here, it's better not to start. Once you start it, it's going to be very difficult. It's better not to start. The Gemara says 4 different groups cannot see the Spirit of Hashem, the Ruach, the Shechina, cannot accept Pne Shechina. It's an expression, means they cannot be together with the holiness of Hashem. One of these 4 groups is Mesapre Lashon Hara, people who speak Lashon Hara. The Gemara says that all the animals, when they attack a person, they enjoy from it. The lion, he attacks an animal or anyone, he gets some benefits by doing it. There's only one who attacks with no benefit. He gets nothing. Who is it? The snake. The symbol of the evil inclination. The snake. What is the snake came and spoke Lashon Hara? Against who? What was the first Lashon Hara in the creation? Who spoke Lashon Hara against who? The first Lashon Hara. The snake against who? Against Hashem. Right in the creation, the snake started to speak Lashon Hara. What did he gain by that? What did he want? To hunt Hashem? To eat him? What benefit he had? Nothing. So that's the symbol of Lashon Hara, the Nachash. That reminds me about that joke. Why Hashem did not make Adam Chinese? That he won't eat the snake. He would ruin the story of the Torah right away. Hashem tell him, listen, now it's a part coming in a movie that he has to speak against me, and your wife is listening, and she's going to come tell you the news. In the meantime, he's eating the snake. It was the whole movie. The Gemara says, "Kol amesaper lashon hara, someone who speaks lashon hara, ki ilu kafar baikar." It's like a person that rebels against Hashem. What's the source? It's a pasuk in Tehilim. Tehilim 12:5. Asher amru lilshonenu nagbir sfatenu itanu mi adon lanu. Once you begin to speak more and more and more harsh against people, what comes next? Mi adon lanu. Who is God for us? What do we need God for? It's a chain reaction. Then we saw one case in the Torah with Miriam, the sister of Moshe. Miriam and Aaron were speaking, trying to do a mitzvah. Believe me, they had no intention to hurt their dear brother Moshe. But they started to talk against him, leaving his wife, what's going on here. What happened to her? She was isolated for a week. So the Gemara says, Miriam, that loves Moshe very much, she never had in mind to hurt him in any way. She was even right about what she spoke about. No matter how you look at that, you have enough reason to justify what she did. And she was isolated for a week. Why, by the way, she was isolated for a week? Because every punishment that God gives us, it's a measure for measure. Everything. The same thing you did, that's what you get. You want to isolate a person by speaking bad about him? You want him to lose his friends? You want him to lose his job? You want him to lose his customers? You want him to lose his wife? Whatever the case may be, you want him to lose friends. To isolate him in society will do the same to you. Next thing you wonder, why are you in jail? But what did I do? I'm innocent. I'm not guilty. And you are. You're right. You did not do what they want. FBI knock on your door. Handcuffs on your hand. Take away all your merchandise. 6 months you're in prison without bail. Lawyers want $300,000 to represent you in your case. She's sitting and eating your heart, knowing you did not do what they said. It happens all the time. Believe me, all the time. And you don't really know, why am I here? It's a mistake. No, it's not. Speak all the time against people. You do the same to others. Hashem did this to you. What about what the FBI claims? It's nothing to do with your case. Hashem sent you there. The FBI, Hashem cares about the FBI. Hashem wants, he'll lock you in a hospital. What's the difference? You'll be in a bed, in a coma. 2 years. Don't move. Isolation. That's the idea here. 10 years ago, I gave a lecture somewhere here in New York. And I asked the guy by the end of the lecture. 1 second, please. Baruch atah Adonai, Eloheinu melech haolam shehakol nehyeh lo. I asked the guy in the lecture, you just moved here? He said, yeah. Started to talk about houses in that neighborhood, and he said, no, I'm only renting here. I said, but I know you lived in this neighborhood for years already. He said, yeah, but don't ask what happened. I just lost my house. I said, how did you lose your house? What happened? He said, you're never going to believe. You did not read about me in the newspapers? In the last few months? So I don't read newspapers. I don't really know what's going on around. What happened with you? He said, I had in Manhattan a jewelry store, doing very well. Very well. One day, in the afternoon, in the middle of the day, the store is full of customers. Business is booming. I have plans. My future looks bright. Few FBI agents break into the store like this with their badges. You're under arrest for money laundering and drug deals and all these things. Look at them. Me? What is these things? Money laundering, drugs? I don't smoke cigarettes, he says. Drugs? What happened? They get rid of all the customers in a minute. They put a sign, a sticker on the window. They begin to collect all the gold and all the diamonds into bags. I say, you know what, it's a mistake. Maybe they came to the wrong store. By the time I'll talk to the lawyer, maybe tomorrow it will be all over. What comes next? They send him to prison. Who sits with him in a room? The famous Yimach Shimo John Gotti, the head of the Italian mafia. In the same room with him. An innocent guy. He doesn't know anything. Drugs, money laundering. You see the guy, you'll know right away. This guy is not the type to do these things. What happened? 6 months he's in prison before his trial. They took all his house, all his bank accounts. His wife don't have money to buy milk in a supermarket, nothing. In one moment, from very wealthy people, they became beggars. Then, the biggest nightmare now out of all this, he cannot even sleep. Why? Because this cruel person that is already in hell by now, he didn't let him sleep. Why? Because he snores a little bit. And you know, you sleep with such a monster in your room, you say, you're not going to sleep until I fall asleep. When you hear me snoring, you can also snore. You're not going to snore before me here, you hear me? Then he made him brush his shoes and make his and do his bed and do everything over there. Who knows what else? After 6 months of nightmare, by the time he lost his business, he lost everything, they found that this is corrupted cops. Corrupted cops. Giuliani was the mayor, I think, at that time. They caught them, or was the, maybe it was the prosecutor, I don't know. They caught them. It was all over the newspapers. What would you think? That the city will return to him all the jewelry and all the expenses for the lawyer and put him back in business and write 5,000 apologies all over the media. Nothing. Not a penny he got back. He lost his... Nobody until today know what happened to this jewelry. They stole it. Finished. Is it possible to think that it's happened to him accidentally? It's all a shame. That's the problem here. It's all Hashem. It's not him. It's not the cops. Who made the cops have an idea to walk into his store? There's thousands of stores like this in Manhattan. It was decided on Rosh Hashanah. Why it was decided on Rosh Hashanah? Only Hashem knows. The problem with us, we wake up when it's too late sometimes. You could have done much better before the decree was made. Why are you waking up only when the decree was made? Why? Because before you did not believe it's going to happen to you. It's all about faith. If you have faith in Hashem, then you know the Torah is the word of Hashem. You know, if you check the Torah carefully, then you see the Torah promise reward and punishment for everything you do. And it's gonna come. It's just when. The question is when. It's like a Russian roulette. You roll it and you shoot. This time he did not shoot. Next time he did not shoot. Next time he did not shoot. 500 times. 501 he will shoot. That's us. We count on the miracle again and again and again. Russian roulette. Why are you going to make your life like this? Correct it now. Correct it now that the next time when you roll it, it's not going to shoot. What does it mean, tshuva? Take the bullets out. That's tshuva. You want to continue to count on your luck? And remember, the longer you live without repentance, the worse it gets. Technically, if we were wise people, Chazal say, who is a chacham? Who is considered a smart person? Aro'et anolad. Someone who can foresee the future. He is calculating what's going to come next. He hears one word, he already knows the rest of the story. He heard something yesterday on the news, he knows what's going to happen in a week from now. 2 years ago, I told a lot of people, many people, among them some rabbis, tell all your students to be very careful, because this country is going to collapse in a very fast period of time. Very short period of time. Everything here will go down. Real estate was in the highest. They were buying buildings and making millions, and everybody smiled all the way to the bank. I told them, remember, it's all a balloon. Balloon does not explode slowly like a tire. Tire lose air little by little. Balloon, it's one shot. That's what happened right now. This country is on the way down. It started with Iraq, then real estate is collapsing everywhere. Half of the people in America don't have money to pay the mortgages. Everything you're going to buy in a store in the last 6 months became double. Wheat is double. Sugar is double. Corn is double. Oil is more than double. And you know what the worst thing? That how do you know that a country is sinking? If there is a recession, recession happens once in a while, recession. It happens all in, throughout history to almost every country. You cannot go 2,000 years with no recession. It's like the waves in the ocean. It's up, it's down. But usually, recession means there's no business. People are afraid to spend money. When people are afraid to spend money, what's going to be the outcome? The owners of the companies and the businesses are going to knock the prices down. Everything's supposed to come down, not up like now. Just imagine, it's a double problem now. Not only nobody spends money and these businesses are dying, everything is going up like crazy. How long do you think it's going to stay like this? Wait and see, here it's recorded. I said that 2 years ago, people were laughing at me. This is nothing yet. What's going to happen here in the next year? I'm telling you. And you wait and see. I don't know if you know, but in Argentina, one morning people woke up. Nobody knew. Yeah, people were saying the country is not doing so well. We owe a lot of money. You woke up in the morning. You think you have millions of dollars in CDs by the bank. Your checking account is loaded. You have a lot of things. I'm okay. What's the problem? You came to the ATM machine. You want to get $1,000 out. Restriction. No cash allowed. The government froze all the money of all the people. Nobody can touch the banks. If everybody will take their money out, what's going to happen to the banks? They're going to go bankrupt. They're going bankrupt as it is. The biggest bank in America lost hundreds of billions. Just to give you, I know it's not a lecture about economy. It's going to affect our life. People think, what do I care that Citibank went from 350 billion to 120 billion in less than 4 months? What does it have to do with me? You fool! If Citibank goes down and Chase will go down, we all go down with them. What do you think, they're going to give you back your money? But it's insured by the government. But the government lose billions of dollars in Iraq every day. And all the money that they had, they steal. My friend, Rav Schwartz, on the way here, he told me, you know, we spoke about the situation here. So he told me, that's for sure going to start a war against Iran. So I told him, they cannot pay the expenses of Iraq. Their army is failing in Iraq, in Afghanistan. You want them to start another war in Iran? To spend another $5 billion a day in Iran? Iran, it's a tough cookie, Iran. It's not a joke. So he said, but wars in history prove that whenever a war started, it's improved the economy. So then we started to analyze it together. Why? Why wars improve economy? If any war should make the economy 100 times worse, because nobody knows what's going to happen. It could be a lot worse now, because now they need a lot more taxes. They're going to kill you even more. You have buildings that can make a rule. Everyone owns more than one apartment. From every other apartment, he must pay now 5% every month taxes. Take away everything you have. They need money. What are you going to do? We're fighting for you. You're going to pay the war. So he started to say, because right now, when they all sit in their offices, all they're doing is busy stealing money. But in a time of a war, they leave the stealing away, because everybody tried to save the country. So maybe they steal less, or maybe it's improved economy. We really don't know what's the reason. There's no explanation for that. Why? It should make it worse. We don't know what's going to be. We don't really know. A lot of the people that were living comfortably here in this country, they have to live back to their countries. Immigration became a million times worse. Nobody can get a driver's license. You cannot open a bank account. You cannot find a job. Taxes are only going up. The George Washington Bridge toll went from 6 to 8. Yeah, and the Verrazano probably will be 15 in a month or two. By the time you try to get to work, it's going to cost you $50 to get there, to make 70. And from the 20 you have left, they're going to take 18 taxes. You're laughing, but that's what's going to happen here.
How you come?
Come to the synagogue in the morning in Monsi and see how many miserable people coming every morning. Hundreds. Tzedakah, tzedakah, food. Achnasat kala, I can't marry my daughter, I can't pay rent, I can't. It's growing. And this is the tzaddikim. You know, Rabbi Akiva, before he died, The Roman soldier told him, look at you, all your life, you're a Rebbe. No, Rabbi Akiva wasn't just a Rebbe. It's the greatest Jew ever lived. The greatest Jew ever lived. Even Moshe Rabbeinu saw him in Ruach HaKodesh. He saw how he dies. He said to Hashem, this is the reward of such a righteous person. Zot Torah v'zot Schara. What's going on here? When Moshe Rabbeinu heard Rabbi Akiva giving a lecture in his yeshiva, he told Hashem, I don't understand the Torah that he's saying. That means it's greater than me. Why you gave the Torah by me and not by him? By the end of the lecture, Rabbi Akiva said to the student, one of the students asked, where is the source, Rabbi? We received it from Moshe Rabbeinu, he said. Moshe felt good. Ah, after all, it did come from me. Yeah, Baruch Hashem, that's okay. Maybe I forgot after 1300 years, you know. But Baruch Hashem, I'm the source. Okay. So Rabbi Akiva, Mara said that they were taking the brushes and iron brushes and making lines of blood in his skin. 120 years old. The Gemara said that when he was in jail, you know, they put him in jail for teaching Torah. So when he was in jail, he had a student bringing him every day a bucket of water. Half of it he was drinking, and half of that he was using for Netilat Yadayim. There's no faucets over there. Press a button, you have water. Remember, they have to bring water from the lake, from the well. So he used to volunteer to come bring the Rav water, because the Romans wouldn't bother bringing him water, right? One time, the soldier saw that he's bringing a big bucket of water. He came and he kicked it. Half of it spilled. By the time he picked it up, half of the water is gone. So when he came to Rabbi Akiva said, why you came so late today? I'm waiting for you from the morning early. Told him, Rabbi, the soldier didn't let me in. Kicked the look what happened to the water. So he saw an old person, 120 years old, staking the water. He did not drink from yesterday morning. And he's doing Netilat Yadayim because he wanted to eat a piece of bread. So he told him, Rabbi, why are you wasting the water? Drink, it's more important. He said, you can eat the bread without Netilat Yadayim. Hold it with a napkin or something, there's ways. You don't have water, what are you going to do? You're going to starve? Eat it without touching the bread. So Rabbi Akiva said, what can I do? The Chachamim made an halacha of Netilat Yadayim. I cannot go against the words of the Chachamim. He was the biggest Chacham, humbled. So this is Rabbi Akiva. So Gemara said, while he was dying, he was saying Kriyat Shema. He knew the Shema Meforash. He could have said the names of Hashem, all of them would fall and die in a second. So the students say, Akiva, what's wrong with you? Say something. You can kill them all. So he answered, all my life, I say Shema Israel. What do I say? 3 times a day. You should love your God with all your heart and all your soul and all your money. But with all your life, give up, you're ready to give your life in any given moment. For the first time in my life, I have the opportunity to do it. You're telling me to do something? So Gemara says that the soldier was making fun of him. Look at you, Rabbi. What did your Torah help? What would you answer if the goy would tell you such a thing? What would you answer him? No? What do you say? If a goy would make fun at you, you know that you cannot help yourself. Like I told that Christian professor there. I told him J.C. Penney could not help himself when the Romans were hanging him with nails. You want him to save the world? He was begging them not to kill him. They nailed his hands to the cross. Was all bleeding, everybody laughed at him, he couldn't do anything. But the difference between him and Rabbi Akiva, Le'avdil, billions of Avdalot, yes? Rabbi Akiva answered the guy like this, did not beg him. He told him, Ma le'oser retzono, kacha, kal vachomer le'ovre retzono. Sounds like Chinese to you? I'll translate. Those who Hashem love, and they love God and they listen to Him all their life, this is their end. It's needless to say what's going to be your end, a wicked one like you. You understand? A genius. The right word and the right time. You understand? The Gemara said that when they killed the Asara Arugim Malchut and Tisha B'Av, we sit on the floor, we cry for them. The 10 rabbis. So one of them, the soldier told him, they wrapped his body with cottons, with water, that he's going to burn slowly, that he won't die in 5 seconds or 10 seconds. It will take him 2-3 minutes to burn slowly. They enjoy to make them suffer. So the guy told him, Rabbi, I'll make a deal with you. You got to take care of me. Every time I go to the airport, I want to check-in out, because I don't want to stand online. You know, they have on the street. It's a very good thing. It saves you a lot of headache. 2 seconds, you do it outside. So there's a one guy, he's supposed to do it. That's his job. But you know, you're going to have to take care of me. For giving me the ticket from the computer. Everything becomes like talk here. In Egypt, it's like this. You want to speak to a teller in the bank? What about me? You got to pay them. Bribe. So the guy told him, Rabbi, if I'll make the fire higher and burn you faster, will you take me with you to Olam Haba? See, they believe. They believe. Say yes. The burner went up, the fire, in 1 second he died. The guy jumped inside the fire with him and went with him to Olam Haba. Gemara says, Yesh Adam kone olamo berega achad. Sometimes an opportunity of a lifetime. 1 second! Your graph, your life is all the way down. Your stocks is on the way down constantly. From the day you're born, you're only going down. But you had one moment in your life. In 1 second, it can be a sharp hike, like to the sky. Somebody knock on your door. I know you have a lot of money, sir. The yeshiva is about to close down. I beg you, please give me $100,000. If not, I lose the yeshiva. That's all you came to this world for. For those 5 seconds. You say, yes? You got saved. You say, no? Your life is finished. Because remember, it's a chain reaction. He closed the yeshiva. There's 100 students go on the street. Some of them become non-religious. Their marriages is not as good. Their children, their grandchildren. You come to Shamayim, Hashem says, look, you see all these criminals on the street here? Look! 20 years later! 20 years later, you went up to trial. You see all the criminals sitting on the street, on the benches, smoking drugs. This, you made it. Me? Me? I don't know them, Bechlal. What do I have to do with them? Ah, you don't know them? Come see the story. And you know what's the worst part? That probably he took the $100,000 and bought his wife another diamond to be on a closet for another 20 years. That she put it once a year when they go to that party. Or another 5 fur coats. Or another, what do you call it, jet ski, to be in Florida, that he'll go there once every 2 years. That's us. That's the wealthy people that we have around us. 1 out of 100 is clever. The rest is all nonsense. Take their money, buy another house, buy another this, buy another that, buy sports, buy themselves a jet, go flying first class. Why do you need to fly first class? Why are you spending $6,000 to fly? Spend $1,000, take the $5,000, and you're going to get a billion mitzvot. Give it to the yeshiva. Take the $5,000, sponsor 5,000 CDs. Each CD will make at least one person religious. It goes from hundreds of hands. You know how the discs are. I see until today, 8 years, 7 years after I made my first video, every week it makes people religious. I get phone calls, emails from people. I watch your movie, and it changed my whole thinking about life. 8 years later, I'm wondering to myself sometimes, who is the lucky guy that sponsored that $1 that's still traveling around? A slice of pizza is traveling all over and making people religious. Yes.
You want to say that going to heaven? Would that be a cure?
Yes. Amen. Yes.
Why would he say that he would go to heaven?
I don't understand. He was
perfect. They'll go to heaven of the Goyim. The heaven of the Goyim is very limited. It's better than nothing. better than the other place he was supposed to go. I promise you. So the point, what I'm trying to say to you is, you got to be clever. You have to know how to invest. Today, we have an opportunity that we did not have 10, 20 years ago. We did not have it. We did not have videos, DVDs, website. We did not have it. This is what ruins the Jewish nation. The same way it ruins the Jewish nation in months or years, it can bring them back in months or years. It's a free choice. Internet can destroy life. Internet can save life. You know how many people watching things in the internet and became religious? I wish I collect all the emails I got in the last 10 years. Believe me, you would sit and cry. Just from the stories that people write. Unbelievable. Unbelievable, thank you. We have two brothers in LA. Maybe they watch this email, they know I'm thinking about them. They started to watch lecture over there. Over there there's nothing. Once a year you have a lecture or two. It's very difficult. People, you know, it's not like New York. You have 500 lectures every month here. It's a different world. And to arrange a lecture over there, you have to invest so much, making flyers, making phone calls, and you have 60 people coming, 100 people coming. You get so lucky after 6 months that of preparation. It's not New York over there. It's not Yerushalayim. It's not Israel. It's a different world. They started to watch the lectures on the website. One of them is coming to Yeshiva now, here, just from the lectures. And his brother is going to come right after, because they can't leave completely the business. They do shifts. No? Where did they watch the lecture? TorahAnytime.com. Here you go. If you ever donate to TorahAnytime.com, here you have two guys is keeping mitzvot. Thanks to who? Thanks to your $20 or $50 or $100 that you donated. You have a share in it, in everything. Be clever. In the old days, I remember myself recommending people buying books 10 years ago. It wasn't so popular yet, DVDs and discs and all that. So what happened is, I was telling people, buy a book, $15, and give it to people. It's a big investment. Why? You buy 100 books. I remember a guy gave me $1,500, we ordered 100 books from Brooklyn. Wholesale price. Mesilot El Ha'emuna, great Hebrew book. A lot of knowledge in one book. The problem is that you give it to 100 people, only 20 will read it. And from the 20, oh, maybe you made 5, 7 people will become religious. So for $1,500, you made 7 people religious. Today, $1,500, it's 1,500 DVDs. 1,500 DVDs is at least 20,000 watchers. Because people like to watch, they don't have patience to read. We are in a very low generation today. It's all media. Just let me watch, I cannot read. Newspapers and garbage, you can read a lot. But things that it's important, I don't have patience to read. 20,000 people will watch those 1,500 DVDs. How many of 20,000 will be religious? Hundreds. And it's their children, their grandchildren forever. For what? For another stupid vacation that you go for 3 days to Florida and waste your time over there. And who knows how many sins do on the beach over there. Rabbi, don't worry, I live in the 40th floor. By the time I see the ladies over there, it looks like a matchbox. What can we do? Sometimes I feel like talk to the wall. What can I do? Yeah. That's the reality. That's the situation. I wish we could laugh about it, but it's not really so funny. Okay, time is running out, so if you have any questions before we finish and daven arvit, because I have another lecture now.
Yes.
Yeah. Any questions? Everything is clear? No more Lashon Hara? We all agree? No more? Not Bli Neder, Im Neder. You know why Im Neder? Every mitzvah in the Torah, you already made a neder in Har Sinai. You cannot make a neder on neder. If you say now, I swear I'm going to put tefillin. It's worthless, this swear. You already swore. You're already obligated. If a person say, I swear I'm going to eat chazir. What, you swear against the Torah? There are things you can swear of. things, you can swear until tomorrow. It's not going to change anything. And so we already made an agreement with Hashem. We bind to it. Whether you like it or not, that's it. You're in it. You're in that marriage. What can you do? You're married. You got married.
Why is hard when you swear, you don't put the tefillin? But when you don't swear, you just do it. You could do it every day.
Well, it's true that once you say what you're going to do, the Satan doesn't leave you alone. The Gemara says, "Paga becha menuval zeh, moshcheu lebet ha-midrash." If this bastard, excuse my language, came to you on the way, drag him to the yeshiva. Who are they talking about? The Yetzer Hara, the Satan. Take him, learn with him chevruta. Take him to the yeshiva, learn with him chevruta. What do you mean? The Satan comes to the yeshiva, he gets nervous. The Gemara says, there was a Rav, his name was Flamo. You heard about him? Flamo used to say, "I wish an arrow will go right in between the eyes of the Satan." Satan used to get very upset. If it was just another ignorant cursing me, the Satan said, "Nah, I'll take care of him sooner or later." But this Rav, why is cursing me? He doesn't know I'm the messenger of God. Why is cursing me? He got offended. It shows the Satan has feelings. The Gemara says, one time the Satan said, "You know what, I can't take this anymore. I cannot take this anymore. I'm going to show this Rav who am I." The Satan put a custom like he's a beggar, a homeless. He knocks on his door. "Rav Flamo, yes, I'm dying, please feed me." Looks full of boogies, pimples, pus coming all over. Didn't take a shower for a year. So Flamo said, "Okay, I'll go, I'll stay right here, I'm going to bring you food." The Satan goes in, he sits by the table. "No, I'm not going to eat outside. You eat inside, I eat outside. Put the food right here." Imagine somebody break like this into your house. They sit over there together. He just looks at him, he almost vomits. Then, guess what? The Satan take a tissue out. It's an old man. He goes like this. He clean all the boogies and put it right next to Playmo's plate. Believe me, it happened in my house with some of my guests. A pile of tissue in the Shabbos table. Derech Eretz, what can you do? It's all from Shamayim, Nisayon. So, Flamo couldn't hold himself. He said, "Excuse me, sir. Derech Eretz! What? He got a heart attack, he fell on the floor and died." Satan has power. A moment after, Flamo said, "Well, I'm going to hide him now. Hashem knows I didn't kill him, but the people are going to think I killed my guest." Then the Satan sees scared. The Satan make noises coming from the window. "Did you hear what happened? Flamo killed this poor person." He heard like this. It was Erev Yom Kippur. Erev Yom Kippur, we came to him. Imagine. He started to run like crazy, running out to the bathroom. Where was the bathroom? I remember, in the old days, you did not have your bathroom in your house. It was out of the city. They didn't want to smell, you know, what's going on over there. So they made it a little bit far from the town. So he ran over there. He was hiding over there. Poor Flamo. He spent his Yom Kippur inside the bathroom. By the end of the Yom Kippur, guess what he sees? Like this Chaim Blank. He showed up to Shachrit. The Satan showed up in the bathroom. The poor person. "I thought you died." No, I'm the Satan. "But I came to tell you, my friend, don't ever start with me. I was merciful with you until today. I cannot stand your curses." So what do you want? How do you want me to challenge you? He said, "You can say nice things to me, but don't get me upset." And the Satan left him. So what do we see? There are things we don't understand. The same thing Eliyahu Navi, by the way. The Gemara says, I think it was of the biggest Chachamim, that he had a rule. He said, listen, his father, before he was born, his father said, "I will never sell in my store afternoon on Erev Shabbos. Friday, I close my business early and I go to prepare for Shabbat. That's it. I don't care, customers coming, no, nothing, I don't care. One time, the Satan said, let's test this Chacham. We'll see how loyal he is to his promises. He came to his store, he sees suits. He said, I want to buy a large amount of suits, but it's going to take me some time, you know, I got a check. So go ahead, but I want you to know that at 1 o'clock is Jewish Chatzot in the midday. I must close my business. So you have half an hour, please finish by then. So the guy said, finish by then. When he see how many suits I want to buy, he will stay with me until the moment before Shabbat. So he makes another suit, and another one, and another one, and another. The sale of the year. Then he says, sir, I have 5 minutes. 5 minutes to close the store. Say, yeah, okay, I hear you. 1 minute to close the store. He put 5 more suits. He says, sir, we have to close. Okay, let's go over the bill. So no, cannot receive your money today anymore. That's it. What do you mean? Okay, just tell me how much I'll pay you. No. Business is closed. Come back tomorrow. Come back Sunday. Sunday I'm not in town. I'm sorry. I prepared you half an hour in advance. I didn't take you seriously. Come on. What is this? Don't be so picky. We have 2 minutes, we'll finish. Let me pay. No, yes, no. I don't want to sell. He said, Mazal Tov. I'm Eliyahu Navi, the customer. And I came to tell you, you're going to have a son that will light the eyes of the generation. I think his son was one of the biggest Chachamim. I wish I remember which Chacham he was. One of the biggest of that generation. Why? Nisayon. You never know who's the person you speak to. It could be Eliyahu Navi. You don't know. It could be a minute before Shabbat, somebody knock on your door. It could be Eliyahu Navi. You know who it is? You don't know. You don't know. You know what happened about 2 months ago. There was a big accident on the way to Lakewood. On the way to Lakewood, Erev Shabbos, Friday, a huge truck fell and it was blocking the entire highway. Did you hear about that? Hundreds of Jews got stuck. They couldn't go home for Shabbat. Everybody on the way to Lakewood, from the city, from Queens, from Muncie, everybody's stuck. I had my friend from the yeshiva, he's on the way there. He saw traffic. He did not know yet that it's an accident because he was one of the first ones, but he started to see miles of traffic. He got off the exit, he had GPS, the GPS showed him how to get there, he got to Lakewood. Guess what happened that Shabbat? One family that saw in another hour, there's no way to get to Lakewood, no way. So what happened? They started to get off the highway and they went to Deal. Deal, it's before Deal, but they don't know anybody there, but they know there are Jews in Deal. Syrian Jews. They come to a house 20 minutes before Shabbat. Excuse me, yes, Shalom. We were on the way to Lakewood. Did you hear about the big accident? We have nowhere to be in Shabbat. Family. 20 minutes before Shabbat, they knock on their door. We have nowhere to be in Shabbat. A Jew will let a family say, I'm sorry, we don't have enough chicken. Come in. Baruch Hashem, the Syrians have food in the house. Baruch Hashem. They brought them in. Guess what? The father of the family in Deal didn't make it. He got stuck in the accident. So the guy of this Ashkenazi family made them Shabbat. So the family that made it to the house, they made it into his house. Who knows where he went for Shabbat? They made them Shabbat. They let them in. The guy made Kiddush. He said Divrei Torah. No, it's not like your father. It's better than nothing. You never know. It could be Eliyahu Navi. What do you know? Bezrat Hashem, we want to remember one thing from this lecture, the story that I started with, that electronic email to Hashem. And you should know, there are some sins that once you do it, it's going to be almost impossible to correct. You be clever not to fall into this trap. For women, is modesty. You walk out of the door with not modest clothes, you're in a big problem now, because it's impossible to find all the guys. Hey, Vinny, forgive me that you looked at me yesterday. Hey, Tony, remember a month ago you were all over? Forget it, I apologize. Hey, Yosef, Yitzchak, forgive me that you lost your Torah for 70 years that you learned, because I was sitting in the office, not modest. Where are you going to find them? Do you read their minds? You don't know. Don't dare to do it once in your life. Not twice, once. Doesn't pay, it's big loss. Some things you can correct relatively in an easy way. Forgot bracha. No, Yom Kippur comes, it's finished. Forgot even one day tefillin, which is a very important mitzvah. It's easier to correct that than one sentence of Lashon Hara. That's reality. Modesty for ladies and Lashon Hara. For us, Lashon Hara and Bitul Torah also. Not learning Torah every day. Me'uvat lo yuchal litkon. The day is finished. The day is finished. 24 hours is gone. You did not learn Torah. You have a black dot in your file forever. Cannot return the calendar now. Limud Torah keneged kulam. The learning of Torah, it's equal like all the other mitzvot together. And bitul Torah keneged kulam. Same way the reward for learning Torah is the most important, the punishment for not learning is the worst. Why? Because Hashem wants you to learn Torah. That's why He gave punishment. Because those who don't appreciate the value of the Torah by themselves, maybe with a whip they will understand. Like they do in Iran. You put your fingers like this, you don't learn, come Ahmed, believe me, tomorrow you get 100 on the test. By the end of the year, they all come to kiss the mustache of this Ahmed. Thanks to you, I'm a doctor. That's happened. Yeah, I'm telling you. I spoke to some people. They said, without this whip, we would never be doctors. Who likes to learn over there? It helped us in a way. Why? Sometimes what you don't get through the head comes through the feet. You understand? Thank you very much. Good night.